Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. Today we have an email. I don't know where this came from.
Yeah, it's anonymous. It says, thanks for all the advice. I'm trying to help a family member. We still have enough left in the 529 plan to pay full tuition. That's the 529 is a tax code thing. There's a type of an account that you can open for your kids. Ben, do you have 529s for your kids?
I don't. I didn't like all the restrictions.
Yeah, I had a 529 for my niece, who I adore, who it was her birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Haley. She's 15. I started a 509 when she was a kid, or a 529 when she was a kid. And I then realized, like, man, I really don't think that this is going to be money well spent. I stopped funding the 529 because I was like, this shit, all I'm doing is committing to paying for wildly overpriced shit. Why would I do that?
Yeah.
Like, I certainly wouldn't save money for law school tuition.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way about undergrad tuition these days. I just can't imagine that paying $50,000 a year makes any sense. I think people should be going to community college. They should be getting scholarships. They should be working their way through school, apprenticeships. There's got to be some other way. Like, we don't need to be saving six figures, putting them into these accounts, even though they are tax advantaged, but putting all this money into these accounts just so that you can promise to give it to some nonprofit institution, educational institution down the road, like literally saving up $250,000 to waste on school.
It makes me sick.
It really is gross. And so anyway, this is somebody who has that problem. I guess it's a good problem to have once you've accumulated the money in the 529. Mm-hmm. But I would just probably save the money outside of a 529 and then decide whether you want to spend it on higher education. Yep. So this person is like, well, I've got the money now burning a hole in my pocket.
I can't do anything else with it or pass it on to future generations. I think that's one option with the 529. But geez,
I believe that there are other options. So this applicant who has money in the 529 enough to pay full tuition. So, you know, let's say that's 50,000 a year times three. So this is, let's say we've got 150 grand sitting in the 529 plan. You're admitted to a top 25 school with money.
Yep.
Waitlisted at a top 14 school. So not going to get money, even if you get in. The question is it worth mentioning on a letter of continuing interest, or is it just obnoxious? The worth mentioning is it worth telling them? So here's the letter. It would be basically, I have money in my 529. I'm willing to pay full tuition. And you say that on a letter of continuing interest to this top 14 school in an effort to get in off the wait list. What do you think about that move?
I mean, presumably, I don't know. On some level, right, you're saying, I got money and I'm willing to pay for it. But I was guessing that if they're waitlisting you, they're already expecting to charge you full freight anyway. So I don't know if it's helping. At least maybe they know you're willing to do that, whereas a lot of people aren't. So you're reducing that yield, right? Potential loss. So
exactly. Because if they admit you and then you're like, but I want a scholarship.
You're going to walk away, possibly.
Then you're going to walk away.
You're more likely to walk away.
Yep. Yeah. You're going to walk away. You're going to hurt their yield. And I think that they really, they don't want to give you a scholarship. If they wanted to give you a scholarship, they would have already given you a scholarship. So they want your money.
Yeah.
And you flashing the cash. Is it obnoxious? Sure. Does it work? Probably. You know, like, I don't know. You're trying to catch a taxi cab or something, right? It's like, if you hold lots of bills in your hand, I don't think that hurts your chances.
Okay.
Now, is this a good idea?
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. You can use your 509 plan.
529.
Sorry, 529 plan to cover... I think you can use it to cover room and board and like fees and books and other things. So
including other family members.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just because you we see people who have this money.
Yeah.
And they like they've got it earmarked for this one particular purpose. And then it's just burning a hole in their virtual pocket and they just like really want to spend it. But I tend to say, look up the rules for the 529 plan and think about all the other things. Ben says room and board. I say other family members for other types of programs. Law schools give ridiculous scholarships. Like you don't get ridiculous scholarships for room and board. And there are many other programs that you don't get ridiculous scholarships for. Right. In undergrad. Right? And so I would consider whether you could use this money for your kids. Maybe you've got other siblings. Maybe you've got other nieces and nephews. Maybe you've got future degrees that in mind that you might want to spend the money on. It seems like you're overvaluing these T14s. I think don't pay for law school, period. And I don't think that the school is so much better that it's worth wasting this money. I think you can find better uses for this 529 money.
Yeah. Isn't there like an expiration? Or let's talk about this, the penalty for taking it out.
Oh yeah. You could just take the money out.
Yeah. And you're not going to get as much as is in there, but boy, $100,000 is something, yeah, right?
If you hand it over to, you know, I'm assuming, by the way, that this is a T14 barely inside the T14, right? When people start talking about, well, I'm in it at top 25, I start looking at the list of like, okay, who's ranked exactly
25.
Higher than 20, but lower than 25. I'm like, oh, so you're in at USC or wait, USC is probably actually, well, I don't know. You get the point. So you're barely inside the top 25. And when you say with money, that means probably partial scholarship or waitlisted at a top 14, which then I go, oh, so Georgetown, and they're not going to give you any money at all.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know what other offers are on the table. Like, what's your best full ride?
Yeah. What about a T30?
Exactly.
T35. And
what's your best full ride? That's the question. And this email doesn't really say that. I think you're wasting money at all these options. Just because you've got it in the 529, I don't think you should spend it. My final word on the matter is use this money for anything else. It might work, but I don't think that's a good reason to do it. Ben?
Yep, I agree. What is the withdrawal penalty? I'm just really curious now.
It's probably like you have to pay the taxes on the money and 10%.
That's exactly what it is. You have to pay the income tax and 10%. So if you assume 30% income tax, 10%, so you're losing 40% of it. That sucks. But boy, you get 60% cash.
Yeah. Or you could take it out
zero.
And you could take it out and give it to a charity. At which point you would then get the tax deduction. So paying tax on it wouldn't matter because you would deduct it immediately because you're going to give it to a charity. So you could pay 10% penalty and donate this to the American Cancer Society. Or keep 60% of it for yourself, or use it for a future education expense and 100% of it on any other future education expense, including possibly room and board while you're in law school. Paying it for tuition would be I just think it would be really dumb. I think it would be like a huge waste of money.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, thanks for writing in. Email daily@lsaddemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.